Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, coming to us from over the border, the great north, is Dr. Elaine Desaunier. And Dr. Elaine, welcome to the Life West Leadership Line.
Hey, thanks, man. So it's such an honor to be here. I feel like I was, you know, growing up in chiropractic, I've always, you know, saw you as such a big mentor and saw you on stage. And it's such a trippy thing for me to be on this end of it now. So I'm honored to be here, man.
Well, I got to tell you, man, like, you know, we saw each other in Vancouver recently, right? And it was so great. And I'm just thrilled to have you. And I just want to tell our audience a little bit about you. They're going to get to know you much better, but Dr. Elaine graduated in 2002 from Life University, comes from a huge family of chiropractors, about 44, something like that, in the extended family. From Canada, of course, I just said that. When he graduated, went back to Canada, went to Canmore up in Alberta, right by Banff, and practiced there for 6 years, and then relocated over to where are you now?
Vancouver, British Columbia.
Vancouver, West Coast. The city of Vancouver. Originally from Winnipeg, so he's a Winnipeg Jet. But originally, so he's been kind of on that western side of Canada. So he's been in Vancouver now for 16 years and just doing amazing things. Has a beautiful family practice. If you're ever in Vancouver, you got to check his office out. It is incredible. And amazing office. I was there and it was just beautiful. Was working with the ICA in Canada as a rep years ago. Been doing a lot of stuff around building chiropractic. He started the Transformative Speaking Academy and teaching chiropractors how to speak, how to get their message out, which hopefully we'll touch on to a little bit today. Runs a podcast called From the Inside Out. That's wonderful. If you haven't seen it, please, you know, plug into it. We'll put something on the bottom because it's always good to be listening to more pods or webcasts like that, right? But I think your greatest accomplishment, obviously, is your wife, Sarah, you know, and your two daughters, right? You know, Evan and Jay, you know, they're 5 and 8 years old. And of course, family is dear to him. So I'm excited, man. It's just great to have you. And, you know, I've got some stuff I want to talk to you about. One is just that chiropractic family, you know, it's a great thing to start with, you know. I know your nuclear family. Talk about your nuclear family, your mom, dad, brothers.
So my dad was the first chiropractor of the six of us in our family. My mom went back and actually graduated after I did. She decided that I can't remember if it was my sister was in school or she graduated right around the time my sister went, but myself, my younger brother, Danny, were in chiropractic college. My sister had come and then my mom decided that she'd want to come. And so my dad and her moved. They were in Boulder, Colorado at the time. They decided to move over to Marietta. And so we were all there at the same time, which is like super, super cool. And so my dad graduated in the 7th class at Life. My brother, Danny, and I graduated in the 70th class at Life. So man, super, super cool.
What year did your dad graduate?
78, 79. Okay. I was born in 78, so he was born in 70. I think it was 79. Yeah, okay, 79.
Sure. Yeah, so we were in school together because I was there at the time I graduated in 81. Mm-hmm. But that is so awesome, man. That's so five of you and just in your family. And then you've got
six of us. There's my sister Brigitte. Yeah.
Six. Yeah. And then you've got your extended family, obviously, you know, with the Bohemians and the whole the whole shebang, right? All the people that are all over the lot, mostly in Canada, though, correct?
I guess so. But they're all over the place now. We've got my cousin Joe is in Florida now. We've got another cousin in North Carolina or South Carolina. Another one in Michigan. Some over here. I got my uncle in the Bay Area. He's been there for years, and we're we're trying to take over, man.
I love it, man. I love it. You know, I like to tell people we're trying to build a dynasty, man. You guys got a dynasty, and it's thrilling. And you know this growing up, obviously, you know, we raised our three daughters, and they became chiropractors, but we raised them in a chiropractic family. You know, Mary and I are both chiropractors, as you know. So we have five in our nuclear, along with my two brothers, is seven. But it's like, you know, it's just different growing up in a chiropractic household, you know.
Yeah. And what was it like for your kids? Like, was there, were all of them like from an early age, were they like, yeah, we want to do this, we want to do this? Or was that something that kind of grew on them later on?
Yeah. One of them, my oldest, Lauren, came back from preschool. Maybe she was 4 years old and, you know, showed a picture of her adjusting people on tables, you know, kind of thing. She knew from right off the bat that she wanted to be a chiropractor. My second daughter, Morgan, you know, no, nah, she was like going to go to, she went to UCLA, and I don't know what her major or minor was, but it had nothing to do with the health. And she was thinking about being a lawyer. She did a 10-week thing, you know, working in an entertainment law firm, cool case with Mark Wahlberg and things like that. And she called me up one day and said, "Dad, I don't want to be a lawyer." I go, "Why?" She goes, "They're just not out to change the world." And I said, "You could be an environmental lawyer. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do, you know." You know, and then I think it was her third year. She ended up going, she graduated in three, but she played lacrosse at UCLA, and she ended up going back because she wanted to play. And she just said, you know, one summer she just said to her mom, "You know, it's crazy. You know, all my teammates are coming to me. I don't take any drugs. I'm eating well. I'm doing this stuff because I'm just going to be a chiropractor." And my wife goes, "You finally got them. You got the memo, huh?" Which was cool because we allowed them all just to kind of do whatever they were going to do. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
kind of how that happened. My youngest, she was just kind of always on the path, but off and on and off and on, you know?
Yeah. I remember when I believe I was 13 or 14, my oldest, or one of my older cousins, he was one of the first of like my generation to go back to, or to decide to go into chiropractic. And we had already had a bunch of people, and, you know, we grew up going to DE, and like all our best friends were all like our cousins who were, you know, from chiropractic families and from other chiropractic families. And I always remember my mom sitting us down at dinner time. We were all sitting around the dinner table, and the topic had come up a lot. And she had said something to the effect of, like, I'm paraphrasing now, but like, it was a moment that always stuck with me. She said, "Listen, like, I know there's lots of chiropractors in our family. We're like super passionate about it. It's like, you know, this is our life and we love it. And we don't want you guys to ever feel pressured that you guys need to do this. Like, just because we do it and we love it, like, you don't ever feel like you need to do it." She said, "However," she said, "when you choose to do whatever you do with your life, make sure that it's something that's bigger than yourself." And I had another chance encounter a few years later watching one of my favorite speakers, actually the first speaker that really turned me on to chiropractic as something like, you know, as something like, oh, maybe I'll do this one day, was Ian Grassam at DE. Yeah. And, you know, a couple of years later, seeing him again, and like, it was just kind of like, oh, it just really clicked for me. It's like, this is so big. And yeah, it's so, like, we're out, it's like we are out to change the world. Yeah. And yeah, it's just something like, I mean,
and that's what it's about, you know. I mean, seriously, you know, and I love the way your parents raised you, because, you know, we did the same thing. We didn't want to push anything on them, and yet, you know, we told them, as long as whatever you do, just do it from giving, doing, loving, and serving, and make a difference in the world, you know. And that's all we would impress on them, you know. But they're always with us, and, you know, on service trips and doing different stuff. We had nonprofits that went down to Mexico, and they'd come and change face paper, hold babies, you know, do all kinds of stuff. But, you know, you just get involved in it. But I love that you know, you got involved because it was a bigger purpose than you know, bigger purpose than just, I think I'm just going to open this business, you know, and, you know, sell radios or whatever it might be. I'm not that that's bad, we need those. It was just, it's really what it's about. But you're also moving now into some really cool stuff, and, you know, I love that you're teaching chiropractors how to speak. You're doing all this stuff, not just how to speak, because that's probably a poor way of saying it, but how to frame themselves, right? And how to bring them out.
Yeah.
I want to get into that, Elaine, but I also want to talk about this, because you had mentioned to me that Jerry Klum gave you a book.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, it's like, you know, Jerry and I go way back, and you know, I met Jerry first in 1979, and just a wonderful man. And, you know, talk to me about that. What book did he give you, and how did that kind of shift your trajectory?
Yeah, so when I moved from Canmore to Vancouver, I remember moving here and met a bunch of chiropractors. Like, I took some time off. I'd sold my practice in Canmore and I had moved here for a girl, and that did not work out. Like, 2 weeks after I moved here, we split up. So, but I knew that, you know, there was, I remember Rob Schiffman years ago from Stage talking about him being in wherever he's in, I can't remember where he is. Like, it's the middle of, you know, he's in, I know he's in a college town, but it's like in the Midwest or wherever. And him saying, like, you know, why did I end up here? And he's like, it just felt like this was my power place. Like, this is where God was calling me to be. And I remember when I first moved to Vancouver, like, I felt that same way. Like, oh, like, this is where I'm meant to be. And so I kind of just, you know, went around and met a bunch of chiropractors and met some amazing chiropractors and realized that no one knew each other. Like, there's all these little silos of chiropractic in Vancouver. And at the right around the same time, I had met up with Troy Dukowitz, who I guess told me about Epoch, the stuff that they were doing. So I decided to start like a little chapter of Epoch here in Vancouver. And so we started bringing speakers every month and really created like a bigger, you know, big community. Like, I think at the time that we were, like, shortly after we started, like, we were one of the bigger, if not the biggest Epoch group in I guess North America.
Yeah.
Because like, people were just really starving for connection, starving for community. And one of my favorite people always since I was a kid, because he was a good friend of my uncle Gil's, who's the first chiropractor in our family, Gil Bohemia. He was good friends with Jerry Klump. And so I always had, you know, an affinity to him and I loved, he was always one of my favorite speakers at DE, and, you know, seeing all the stuff that he had done and stuff that he had done for our family as well after my uncle had passed away in 2002. Or 2001, he was just always so special. And so he came up to speak at our Epoch group. And the morning after his talk, I was driving him back to the airport and we had a little bit of time. So we went up for breakfast and I was asking him some questions about the talk that he had done the night before. And it was something that I love too, because when we'd have speakers up at Epoch, like, I just get to ask them all questions.
Sure.
And
yeah,
like,
you had a backstage
that was, to
pass,
me, was the
right?
coolest thing. Yeah. Like, that's half the reason I did. I'm like, oh, I get to like hang out and like ask questions of like all the leaders in our profession. Like, this is amazing. But he gave me this book called Tribal Leadership. And I can't remember the name of the author right now, but it was, he touched on it on his talk the night before. And he had, you know, we were talking about like me going out and starting to speak for the profession and things like that, the stuff that I was really passionate about. And something about what he said, like he just said, I remember him just gave me this book and he said something to the effect of like, this is going to take you places. You're going to do big things because what's in this book, because of what's in your heart. And I always remember, like, it was just such a big thing. And, you know, when you talk about, so this book called Tribal Leadership goes through the different stages of leadership and how we build tribes around that. And we have like such a great tribe around chiropractic. And it's just a matter of like, how do we bridge that between what we know and what we feel and what we live, and how do we, you know, how to reach the public in a bigger way. And so in this book, he goes through, like, I won't go just really, really briefly. He goes through these like five stages of leadership with like the core tenet or the idea that we all gather around forms our tribe. So the lowest one is that life sucks. And this is like gangs and people who are addicts. They're all the way to the highest one, which is life is great. And, you know, that's where we live, that like life in is inherently sacred. We have this universal intelligence, this, you know, the major premise that we talk about. And, but most people aren't there. They're like in one of the lower tiers. So like, how do we reach those people is like really like our communication, how we speak, how, you know, the words that we use, the stories we convey are the way that we reach those people. And it was Jerry's, not only the words he used, but just the person that he was that really like got me on this journey. Like, yeah, it's not so much about the things we say, but it's about the, you know, the who, the person, the identity of the person that says it. And that's how, you know.
Right. And, you know, when you talk about Jerry Klum, I mean, you know, Jerry and everyone who knows Jerry and spent time with him, when he would speak, it wasn't so, he wasn't that charismatic speaker on stage who could just kind of have you at every single word they say, like Ian Grossum or someone like that. Mm. But the weight behind what he said was so important, the gravity of what he carried, mm-hmm. that you were just you were on every word that he said, right? Because
yeah,
just didn't want to miss anything. And I love that, man. Tribal leadership, I love it. And it's very true, isn't it? Because we do have the gangs down here and this kind of stuff where you got these tribes and they're really kind of low level stuff, right? And, just looking for, how do they actually, no purpose at all, so to speak, right? Or greater purpose, I should say, and being able to move up the scale. But, I know that you learned this because, obviously you're at DE from an early age and, your uncle Gil. Gilles I knew him personally, and what a wonderful man, and silent, very quiet guy, and yet powerful practice, and did so much for Western Canada, so much, seated so many chiropractors, sent them to school and did so much. And it really is more about, what's our message, what's our purpose, and can we live that purpose? It's not about what you say, but what's behind it. And I love that you said that. It's so cool. I tell you what, man, I mean, the history that you have in your family, but what you're doing, like even with what you did to bring your people around, right, in Vancouver, you got there and said, you don't know this, but our story is very parallel. I got to San Diego and I was in Boston, loved it, did a great practice, but I knew just not my home. I can't see myself living here. Where can I go? I wanted to get to warm weather, went to California, drove from LA down, said San Diego's cool. This feels really good, like my power spot. And then I rate, stayed there for whatever until I came up here. And same thing, we just started a philosophy evening, and we started drawing people down from Orange County and all over the place. We would have 50, 60 docs in my office on the first Thursday of every month. And, and it was like, we have to bring our community together. Right. So isn't Parm doing that right now? In
So Parm he kind of took the torch when I had kids, or when I had my first kid, we'd kind of let the Epoch program go. But yeah, Parm Rai up over here started a similar group called Lux Talk or Lux. And so they do it once a month, and yeah, he's a
And it's
powerful
great. And
dude.
that's what we need. We need this in chiropractic, and so badly, just to make sure that we stay together and we get dipped and we talk to each other and, just that camaraderie, because I know it can get lonely in people's offices, and nowadays it's easier with social media and all that kind of stuff that you can just talk with people face to face. But, but still nothing similar to getting a group of chiros together and having a talk about philosophy or talk about whatever, to bring that fire, like, relight or ignite even more of that fire. Talk to me
Yeah, absolutely.
about the chiropractic story. Talk to me
So,
about that.
yeah, so I came up because I grew up in chiropractic. It wasn't until I was probably halfway through school, like realizing or thinking that I just didn't have a story. Like everyone, I saw all these like incredible and heard all these incredible stories from the stage of like people's lives being transformed and people in my class, like these like miracle stories. And that's what got them into chiropractic. And I felt like I didn't have this story. And so I felt like, oh, like what do I have to share? Like I have nothing to offer this profession. I felt like, well, it's like nothing. And it wasn't
I'm
until
just number 38 out of whatever it is, right?
And there was also this idea, and rightfully so, from a lot of people, like, oh, like you're just doing it because your family does it, and like you're just, starting the family business, and yeah, there's an aspect to that because I love this community, I love this family, like our nuclear family, our extended family, our chiropractic family, like it's just, they're one and the same to me. And it wasn't until I can't remember who it was that I heard, but I recognized that my story was this silent miracle, this idea that I never had, just like your kids, like, we grew up the healthiest kids. We grew up with not, and it wasn't even just the physical health, but to me, it was this idea, like we grew up with this idea that life inherently was sacred. There's a sacredness to this thing that we had, and that every word that we share is sacred. And because life is sacred, we talk about the universal intelligence. I remember doing a book report on universal intelligence and the triune of life when I was in like
In
grade
public
six or something like
school.
that. Yeah. I never thought I was nuts, but now we're starting to see like those ideas are starting to become much more mainstream. And so I think a lot of times you know, when I would start to share my story, and this is when I first started in practice, like I really struggled because I felt like my story, it never really landed. But what I came to realize that sharing our story is not about just sharing our story. Like, yeah, we might have had some amazing things happen to us, but the reason why we share our story and the reason why the chiropractic story is so powerful is because it actually builds trust.
Yeah.
It's like, so I talk about, you know, in our program, talk about what I call the triune of trust. So like people, when they learn about us, they learn about chiropractic, like they need to trust in the process of, or the product of chiropractic. They also need to trust in us. We all, you know, we know like from marketing and things like that, like people need to know, like, and trust you. Well, they need to trust that, you know, like I know what I'm doing. But I think that the missing key for a lot of people is that they don't trust themselves. And that's the third piece, is that they don't trust that there's something inside of them that's really special. And I think that for me, that was the biggest gap that I had to overcome. And once I got that, was that, yeah, it's like I really need to speak life into people to get them to trust in themselves and in the sacredness of who they are, and really speak to a greater identity of who they are. That's when things like totally changed for me. And it's really, to me, that was like, oh, like the biggest aha. And that's another, again, what Jerry Klum helped me to realize was, yeah, like it's not about what I say. It's not about I mean, granted, yes, there are some like frameworks and there's all like, you know, how we do things, the mechanics of it. But the biggest thing is, like, I know every time Jerry spoke to me, and I remember when he gave me that book, it was like he saw something in me that was bigger than what I saw in myself.
Right.
And so he spoke to that greater identity.
Yeah. And one of the things that you said would really hit home for me right now, and that's that a lot of times when people speak, they speak to inspire others.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm going to get out and speak in front of people. I want to inspire them to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one way of looking at it. But the truth is if we inspire ourselves, but speak to inspire yourself, and mm-hmm. they will be inspired.
And that, yeah.
So in other words, yeah, don't tell a story that's doesn't mean anything to you, because if it doesn't inspire you, you think it's going to inspire them. It's kind of like just, you know, giving false hope, you know? And yeah. I think that when we start speaking from our own, and you, like you said, you don't have to have this, you know, I was saved at the, you know, at the grips of death, you know, and someone came and toggled my Atlas and life was breathed into me, which is cool. And we know that happens, but but that's not everyone's story. The story is like what inspires the individual. And I tell you what, people connect to that, don't they? They actually feel that from them, right? And
yeah.
I love what you said, because that's what builds the trust. And that's what builds the authenticity, I guess, is the word I'm looking at. You know, it's like, though that's an often word that's kind of thrown around a lot, but the authenticity of the speaker is what creates that trust. And I love that you said that, because it's so important, because there are a lot of people, right, who walk around going, I don't have a story.
Yeah
you do.
Yeah you do. Yeah, it's like, have you ever had a challenge? Have you ever overcome it? Then yeah, you have a story.
You got a story. Yeah. I mean, how, you know, you got a story for that happened last week. You know, I mean, you know, it's just, how do you frame it now, right? And how does that work? And I, you know, it's so important, because you know what? One of the things that we have in chiropractic is we do have a beautiful story, don't we? Just professional, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
our profession. I mean, you talked about it. Innate intelligence, the triune of life, you know, these things that you were writing book reports on as a school kid. I mean, this is like, that's who we are. And it's such a beautiful story. You know, we just have to start owning it, you know, and I think that's where the key comes in. And that could get lost along the way, you know, not owning it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it helps. And it, when we embody it, it then allows it gives permission to others, the people that we speak to really step into that as well. And now all of a sudden our story becomes their story.
Yes.
And then they start to see themselves as something bigger than they believe themselves to be.
Yeah. And the hardest thing, Elaine, is that when we try to inspire people through, you know, throwing inspiration at them, right? And especially in the practice, one thing to be on a stage and you're never going to see these people again, you know, but in a practice, you got to keep inspiring them instead of just having them be inspired by you. The inspiration that's within us, and that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for someone to like dance and sing for them. They're looking for someone that they're inspired around, that they feel good about, that they feel good about themselves when they're with that person, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
Yeah, and I
amazing.
think especially because of what's, having gone through the pandemic, over the last handful of years, like just like when we started Epoch, like it was, and just like your philosophy group, like getting people together was so key and was so vital, and people loved it. And I think the same in our communities now. People are starving for community. People are starving for connection. They're starving for someone to bring them together. And events in our office have, never been better. People just are just looking for that, and just providing that space, providing that environment and that container for people, I think is like it's so valuable. And it's
It
never
is.
it, like we're talking about, it's not about what we say, it's just about who we are and about what we bring, like how we bring people together.
It is. It is. I'll tell you what, and I mean this, the generation now, even my daughters, right? All three are in practice, they don't do health talks, they don't do anything like that. They there's different mediums of communication, right? Whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, whether it's whatever it is, and I get it, and they're all really good. And depending, who you're bringing and who you're reaching out to. But in my generation, I don't know about yours, but in my generation, we all built our practices on health talks, having talks in our office every week to the new patients and then having them refer family members in, and it just kind of, but it wasn't about the patients, it was about us. Like I would walk out, I never, was I excited every Wednesday night to do my talk? No. In fact, I probably sometimes would say, man, I hope no one shows up so I can just go home after a long day. But when I finished that talk, whether it was the one person or 20, I was re-dipped, in what I do, and I think that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You've got a better pulse. Is that happening now? Are people starting to go back to the, having health talks or doing things in their office?
Yeah, I think more and more people are going back to that. And I think you're right. Like there's something special. I remember when, we haven't done weekly health talks in a bit, but I remember when we did them, it was what I remember what got me to start them a lot of times was thinking about everybody else that was doing them at the same time. It was like, so we had like, it was every Wednesday. So every Wednesday I knew. And I remember when, like with my dad, like growing up, like being his CA when I was in high school. Like, and I can remember what, I think he did his Wednesday nights too, but it was like every Wednesday night, all the chiropractors in Winnipeg, like all the principal chiropractors in Winnipeg, they all did their health talks. And I remember my dad saying, like, yeah, like I'm not going to not do it because like I'm accountable to them. And I felt the same way. Like it was like, we bring each other up, and like I took strength from all the other people that were doing the same thing at the same time. And yeah, right. But by the end, I was like, I can't wait for the next one.
Ah, man, I love it. I love it. And I love what you're doing. I love that you're out there teaching chiropractors how to find their story, right? How to bring that about, how to communicate that, because it really is. That's what we're built on. Chiropractic is built on results, but we're built on results that we communicate because no one else is out there communicating it. And so thank you. And I really mean that. Thank you. You're 22 years in practice and you're already taking on a responsibility to perpetuate the method, perpetuate the message of what we're doing. And that, if, like you just said, it's through others, just like what your dad said, I can't not do my talk because there's 40 people in my city right now doing it. I'm part of the symphony, right? And there's always got to be a conductor. And I just, what I'm seeing, Elaine, is that you're standing up with your sticks and starting to do some conducting, and it's so cool that we can get more musicians out there to be able to play our music. It's
Yeah,
awesome.
man.
Hey, man,
Absolutely.
anything you'd like to leave our viewers with?
Well, it's just like we talked about that we all have a story to share. And I think number one, it's just to live a good story. That we have the capacity, we have the ability, we have the opportunity to just live a big life. And in what we talk about, like in what we share, who we are and who we are to the world. And then I believe we owe it to our kids, we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our communities to then learn to tell that story well. And that's really was, because like we talked about, like our story becomes their story, and they start to trust and see in themselves something that's bigger. And that's really what, to me, what chiropractic was always about. It was about allowing someone to go from where they are to become the greatest version of who they could be. And it was never about like, so you can do this, so you can have this, but it was like who you can become. through this process and through who you can become through your story, and sharing your story is, I mean, it's so big. You know,
it's wonderful. And just to cap that, like you said, everyone's got a story. Everyone. Yeah. Like, you didn't know what your story was, because, you know, I just grew up in chiropractic. Everybody has a story. It's just finding that. And that's where it might take some coaching to bring that out. But, you know, we all have that. Alain, thank you, man. It's been a pleasure. I know we've had this set up on the books for a little bit, but, you know, but thank you for all
you're doing for
chiropractic, what you're doing up in the BC area for chiropractic, and, you know, how you just put yourself out. I didn't say this to the group, but we had about, well, I don't know, 50 docs in your office one night. Remember that? You know, that was pre-pandemic, right? 50 docs in your office that about the x-ray laws that were going on up there. And, you know, you just always just put yourself out. And please, please, please tell Sarah, thank you for allowing you to be a tool out there. And I know you spend time with your kids, but you're doing great stuff. Keep doing it. LifeWest is here to support you in any way we can. And just know that. Cool.
Thanks, man. It's an absolute honor. Like I said in the beginning, like, I can't, it's such a trip for me to be on this end. I never thought this would be it, but I'm so thankful. And so
all right, well, I'm expecting, I want an invitation on your podcast. All right. So I could be sitting in your seat and I don't have to be, you know, be looking at my timekeeper, you know, but I want to thank our audience. Thank you. You know, day in and, you know, week in and week out, you know, we keep bringing you the LifeWest Leadership Line. And on the opposite weeks, we drop the Life by LifeWest with me and Dr. Mary. And just thank you. You know, I mean, this webcast has grown tremendously. We're now on audio, like on Spotify and all these other, where you can just download it if you don't want to watch us, but you can hear it. Just amazing how it's gone. And there are so many people in our universe who have a story and don't know it. So please, you know, share this podcast. You know, Dr. Alain dropped some really, when you rewatch this, there's a lot of good gems in there. And, you know, but so share it, because there are people who are thinking, I don't have a story. How do I do this? And once we connect to our story, it just goes from there. I mean, like there's no stopping us. And so thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all that you do for chiropractic. Thank you for all that you do to make this world a better place, to create a brighter future for humanity. But most of all, thank you for your commitment to what you do and who you are. So until I come back at you again, with either a Life by LifeWest or a LifeWest Leadership Line, and from Dr. Alain and myself, we'll bid you adieu and just keep hugging those people around you and keep sharing your story, and remember that you are much more powerful than you were ever led to believe. So we'll leave you with that. Love and appreciate you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.